It's 2:40 in sports. The Washington Redskins are the home team in tonight's NFL game. The Skins, who are 6-2 this season, are playing host to the 5-2 Pittsburgh Steelers. Both of Pittsburgh's losses have come to teams that play in the NFC East, which is the division the Redskins are in. The preseason Associated Press men's college basketball All-America team has been announced, and as expected, North Carolina forward Tyler Hansbrough is on the squad. As a matter of fact, he was the leading vote-getter and a unanimous choice. There's been a big trade in the NBA between Denver and Detroit. A basketball official tells the Associated Press that the Nuggets have traded former NBA MVP Allen Iverson to the Pistons for Chauncey Billups and Antonio McDyess. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because the trade has not yet been announced. The Chicago Bulls are 2-1 going into tonight's matchup against the Orlando Magic in Florida. The Bulls shot a league-low 43.5% from the field last season, and their struggles continue this season. After hitting 50.7% in a win over Milwaukee in their season opener, they shot 29.8% in a 16-point loss at Boston on Friday and 38.1% against the Grizzlies on Saturday. The Chicago Blackhawks will try for a third straight win as new coach Joel Quenneville faces his former team. Colorado makes a stop tonight at the United Center. It's the first game in a five-game homestand for the Hawks, who will then close November with a six-game road trip. That's sports.
Today's programming is made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For 17 years, Silver Creek has been bringing to the table freshly baked artisan breads, prime steaks and chops, fresh fish and pasta dishes, and delightful pastries made by Silver Creek's Swiss pastry chef.
By the time Election Day is over tomorrow, few of Illinois' registered voters will have escaped campaign season without having found glossy brochures in their mailbox, pamphlets stuck in their front door, an email requesting a campaign donation in their inbox, or a phone message encouraging a vote for one candidate or another. It's a coordinated effort led by professional campaign staff and aided by volunteers. Amanda Vinicky spent time with people helping out with the race in suburban Chicago to get a glimpse of what it involves.
It's a gorgeous, crisp October Sunday, 9 days until the election and counting. The clear sky could be the color swatch for a sky blue crayon, and the temperatures are in the mid-50s. The perfect day for a suburban dad to spend playing with his kids outside, tending the yard, or other household chores. Even so, David Blasey is packed inside an office in Naperville awaiting directions. He's going to spend his day volunteering for a campaign.
We'll wait till everybody gets here, and then we'll talk the drill, and we'll get on the road. Do you know how great this is? This is really good. This is real good.
That's the candidate, Darlene Sanger, a Naperville Republican competing against Democrat Diane McGuire for the open 96th district seat in the Illinois House. Although it's long been a solid GOP area, the district is in play this time, in a year when Illinois Democrats hope they'll benefit from Barack Obama's expected home state success. Never mind that Blasey, an attorney who's from Elmhurst, doesn't even live in the 96th district. The attorney says he has good reason for spending his Sunday volunteering, even though admittedly he has other things to be doing with his day off.
I had to get a pass for my wife to spend time away from my kids.
On this Sunday, Blasey and a couple dozen other volunteers are being sent out to various neighborhoods in the district. They'll split into groups and go door to door to door. They're equipped with brochures about Sanger, magnets, even dog biscuits as a treat for a family pet, or perhaps to ward off an unfriendly one. Some door-knocking veterans tell war stories of being bit by a dog. It can be a dangerous business, but campaign worker Randy Kantner says it's an important one.
This is trench warfare. This is how you win elections, by knocking on doors.
Kantner estimates that he knocks on about 300 doors a week, and he's been doing it for months. To do this job, you have to have thick skin, as some residents don't want to be bothered and greet the campaign with a slamming door.
Hi, how are you? Okay, thank you. Have a good day. Well, you can't take that personally.
Or two.
Campaigning for Darlene Sanger?
Sorry.
All right, thank you. Have a good day. Oh, man, that's two in a row.
That's not good.
Voters tend to be especially bothered when they're interrupted during a Bears football game, though that's not a problem this particular Sunday. Other times it pays off with someone vowing to cast a vote or agreeing to put up a sign in their yard.
She's Republican. Is that the good party or the bad party?
Yes, the excellent party. Thank you very much. She has my vote.
Appreciate that. Would you put up a yard sign for Darlene?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, good. I make a note of that. Thank you.
It's not just Republicans out and about. They were just more willing to give a glimpse into their operations for this story. In an Aurora subdivision, there's evidence Democrats from McGuire's team have already been by. Campaign literature is sticking out from under welcome mats and indoor handles. For every Sanger sign, there's a McGuire one springing up from lawns. More than ever before, Democrats are making their presence known in suburbs thought to have been GOP strongholds. And those targeted races are run by people who are pros. Campaign workers are primarily partisan legislative staffers. They research bills, write press releases for lawmakers, or otherwise support Republicans and Democrats in the Illinois House and Senate. But come campaign season, many temporarily leave those jobs behind and are paid by campaigns. They might be sleeping on an air mattress for months at a time or live out of a candidate's basement. To a large degree, it's these volunteers and campaign workers who can make or break a race. They've been knocking on doors and manning phone banks in an effort to get their candidate elected. After Tuesday, the work will be finished until the next election, when again, they'll come knocking.
And November 4th is the election. We appreciate your vote.
I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Well, thank you for coming by. I'll be sure to vote.
Excellent.
Coming up today on The World from PRI, a surprising number of conservative politicians in Europe are rooting for Barack Obama. They don't consider his politics to be radical. In Europe, they say Obama is the centrist candidate. Europe's political right and America's election, plus the day's global news, coming up today on The World at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow morning on Focus 580, they'll welcome back the man they like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. When he stops by each month on Focus 580, they pick a particular dish or a key ingredient and then exchange stories and recipes. This time around, Doyle joins David Inge a day early to talk about unusual cakes. They'll mark the day by offering a classic English recipe from the early 1700s that was baked in America to celebrate Election Day. That's tomorrow morning on Focus 580 at 10. It's 2:48. High school football is winding down at this time of the year, from the big football schools to the ones that don't have the traditional 11-man teams. That's the boys' varsity football team from a little school in Wyoming. There's all 10 of them on the team. Since 2000, the high school has played six-man football. For decades, the six-man game has given small schools and their small towns the chance to experience a fall ritual of American sport. NPR's Tom Goldman traveled to the town, population 351.
They're known as the Metizi Longhorns, but the six-man football team may as well be called the Vagabonds. When the decision was made at Metizi 7 years ago to switch from 11-man to six-man, or face life without football, there was one little hiccup in the plan. Wyoming didn't have a six-man league, so Metizi joined a league in neighboring Montana, where the locals have been neighborly, at least off the field.
Touchdowns!
On a chilly October night in Bridger, Montana, the Bridger Scouts are roughing up the boys from Metizi on the field. Six-man football can come at you fast. It's played on an 80-yard instead of 100-yard field. With so few players, one broken tackle, one nifty fake by a ball carrier can lead to a score. Sometimes, lots of them. 8 seconds into the game, the Bridger Scouts led Metizi 8-0. A minute later, it was 14-0. Another minute, 20-0. You get the picture. Kelly Allen came to Bridger to cheer her two sons, who play for Metizi. Most of the time, she was doing this.
Oh, shoot. Darn. Get him!
A tough night for a parent, but there was never a question that Alan and her husband would make the 240-mile round-trip drive to support Meteetse football.
Even this year, we were there was a chance we might not have a team, and we had three different families call and say, if we do not have football, we will move our kids to a different town. You've seen way too many towns, small towns. If they don't have their sports teams, the towns dissipate.
So are we looking at downtown Meteetse?
Yes, we are. Basically one block. We've got the Elkhorn Bar and Grill. We have Lucille's Cafe. We have the Outlaw Cafe and Bar. And that's pretty much it.
I'm standing on State Street with 38-year-old Rick Paxton.
I am the Meteetse High School Activity Director. I'm the head high school boys basketball coach, and I teach physical education K through 12.
Paxton is working his dream job and living in his dream town. Long ago, he targeted Meteetse for its small-town feel and proximity to great hunting and wilderness. But when he arrived 7 years ago, it was a town, he says, on edge.
Just a lot of turmoil and a lot of things going on with our community. Part of that was also job-related. You know, there's only so many career opportunities in a small town like Meteetse, and so you've got all these mixed emotions, almost the midst of just a little bit of a depression and things kind of going bad.
With the high school football team, too, the 11-man team started losing players, so Paxton and a few others embraced the idea of six-man. They lobbied for it in the Montana League and got in. They quickly saw the connection between six-man teams and the local Montana towns.
I remember one time going to Lima, that's up there by Idaho.
John Fernandez was the first six-man coach at Meteetse.
And as we're coming in for the football game on the bus, you can just see all the dust coming in from the dirt roads and all those farmers and ranchers coming in to the football game.
Six-man football as a rallying point in Meteetse finally happened in 2006. That's when the Longhorns made a memorable run to the semifinals of the Montana State Tournament, where they lost to the eventual champions from Highwood. Rick Paxton.
People that probably hadn't been getting along all that well talking, saying, hey, how about those Longhorns? How about our boys? You think they have a chance of beating Highwood this weekend? And just forgetting some of the little petty things that had been bugging us and realizing that we're like a family.
I'm saying, hey! Go, Carter, go! Carter, finish! Carter, finish! Carter, finish!
Six kids, ages 8 to 10, play pickup football on the Meteetse High School field. Their heroes, they say, are current and former Meteetse six-man players. Six-man is what these kids aspire to. For those critics who say it isn't real football, that it's some sort of benign backyard flag football game, try lining up against 9-year-old Colton Curtis.
If you're not bleeding, you're not playing.
Who says that?
Me.
How long have you had that philosophy about football?
When I was 4.
If Colton is the future of Meteetse six-man, Brazilian exchange student Caio Oliveira is the present. With 34 students in the high school this year, pickings were pretty slim. So as soon as Oliveira arrived from his home in Sao Paulo, he was persuaded to play football. He knew nothing about the sport, but now he really likes it, especially the hitting.
Usually people are saying, don't hit your friends or whatever, and here they just say, hit the guy. That's cool.
And what don't you like about it?
I get hurt.
Not as badly as his teammate, Blaze Allen. On the long bus ride back from Bridger, where the Longhorns finally lost that game, 66-12, Allen sat in the dark with his leg wrapped and an ice pack on his aching knee. He dislocated it, a recurring problem during the season. But he never thought about quitting. He'd been recruited before the season by other guys on the team and the head coach. Allen hadn't played football since middle school.
I found out there's very few players, and if I didn't play, that they might close it down. I knew that's not what anyone from Meteetse wanted. So I decided to try it, and it was well worth it.
And it promises to be even better. Largely because of Meteetse's experience, Wyoming has decided to start up a six-man league in the state next year. So the Longhorns' homecoming from Montana that October night will be permanent. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Tomorrow, voters in San Francisco decide on a proposal to decriminalize prostitution. Advocates say it will protect sex workers. The mayor and the police are opposed.
We wouldn't be able to respond to calls from the community saying, I've got a house of prostitution operating three doors down from my home. I want you to do something about it.
San Francisco's Proposition K and other election news today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 p.m.
Earth and Sky.
Monday, November 3rd, 2008, the slim waxing crescent moon and blazing planet Jupiter can be found in the west tonight near the sunset point shortly after the sun goes down.
At mid-northern latitudes like those in the U.S. and Europe, the moon and Jupiter will stay out till mid-evening tonight. And at latitudes south of the equator, the moon and Jupiter will stay out even later. You'll be able to pick out Jupiter from almost everywhere worldwide, because this world will appear as an exceptionally brilliant star-like object near the moon.
In fact, Jupiter ranks as the second brightest point of light in all the heavens. Only Venus shines more brightly as seen from Earth. It's up after sunset, too, but you're not likely to mistake Venus for Jupiter this evening. Jupiter shines higher in the sky and closer to the moon. Throughout November, Venus will be climbing upward toward Jupiter to catch up with it by the month's end.
Depending on where you live on Earth's globe, Venus will be in conjunction with Jupiter on November 30th or December the 1st. It's the same moment for all of us, but our clocks and calendars say different times. So look for Venus and Jupiter this month. Jupiter's the one near the moon tonight after sunset. Venus lurks near the horizon. Venus will appear very close to Jupiter by late November. I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the American Friends Service Committee, speaking truth to power through peace advocacy, alternatives to military, and its Eyes Wide Open Illinois Memorial. The American Friends Service Committee is a member of Community Shares of Illinois, a choice for payroll donation at work, on the web at cs-il.org.
The weather very nice tonight for sky gazing, stargazing. The forecast for Illinois and Indiana is prepared by meteorologist Ed Kieser. For the rest of the afternoon, mostly sunny, highs ranging between 72 and 77. Tonight, mostly clear, lows ranging from 45 in southeastern Indiana to 55 in northwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs ranging between 72 and 77. This afternoon in Champaign, sunny, the high 75, the wind from the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, the low 49, the wind from the south at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny, the high 75, the wind from the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies, the low